clouds and 63.
Time to talk Browns football with Scott Petrak on the Petrak Report. It's brought to you by your Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company attorneys at law and Royal Business Equipment. Here's a little bit of Deshaun Watson after the game.
I mean, this is the best in the world, best in the league.
Wait, let me start that one over here.
Nick Chubb, I mean, this is the best in the world, best in the league. And, you know, he's going to continue to plug. He's going to continue to run hard. You know, first game for him, so I know he was a little bit winded. But he kept doing what he needed to do, and he ended up getting over 100 yards. I wish he could have gotten the end zone a couple of times. But, you know, he's going to have more opportunities for us.
Now, some praise for the running back from the quarterback yesterday as the Browns win 24-3 over the Bengals. Scott, how important is – maybe that's sort of stupid question. Important Nick Chubb. You know, they talk about him, you know, when you get into the December, November years. You end up the first opening game, and the weather is really the impact that he played into, I guess.
Oh, for sure. You know, the Browns came out. They wanted to throw it. They wanted to throw it deep. They wanted a bunch of three-receiver looks. But the rain never stopped. So they had to adjust. They went back to their bigger personnel, some extra offensive linemen, some more tight ends, and they handed it to Chubb more, and he averaged almost 6 yards a carry. Really helped the offense, you know, which was struggling for a long time in the first half to, you know, kind of put points on the board because they had opportunities. They're in good field position, but the defense played great all day, kept the offense, you know, gave the offense more chances, and then Nick Chubb did a real good job like he always does.
Scott, when you were at the stadium, did you and your colleagues, anybody else, realize that that rain was pretty much limited to the downtown area?
Well, I thought that might be the case because I knew people were looking at the radar and the radar looked clear, but yet it kept misting and then it turned from more than a mist to a rain. So, you know, it's not the only time that has happened where, you know, that gets the moisture off the lake winds up having an impact, and it's not so much, you know, I'm not a meteorologist, but it's not, you know, like a storm or a system moving through. So it was certainly weird and it was unexpected. Kevin Stefanski, you know, he looks at the weather a lot because that depends on, you know, a lot of choices you make, a lot of decisions you make as a coach, and they did not expect it. And they thought, oh, okay, maybe it'll move through. And then it really didn't. It cleared up for a minute and then started again. So they had to adjust on the fly, and it was certainly unexpected.
Can you remember, and maybe it's not that far back, but I thought the Browns dominated in all three aspects of the game, and that often doesn't happen.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's games out there, right? I mean, they've won games. You know, they went to the playoffs 3 years ago, but it usually doesn't happen. When it does, it's something to celebrate, and I think what was really unusual is that it happened in an opener, right? The Browns, they won last year in an opener, but that came down to the wire. They hadn't won week one at home since 2004. It's only the third week one win since they came back in 99. So that made it unusual. And then the fact that it came against the Bengals. I know the Browns have had success against the Bengals, and now they're 5-1 against quarterback Joe Burrow, and Kevin Stefanski 6-1 in his career against the Bengals. But this is a team that's won the division the last 2 years. They went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and then back to the AFC Championship game last year. So to do it against a team like that, the way they did, it was really impressive and I think really encouraging because I think a lot of those things, especially the defensive performance, it doesn't feel like a fluke to me.
The clever headline writer in the Chronicle-Telegram over the Browns' win has a win for elf respect. We always talk about sort of bulletin board type of things, and then people say, well, you shouldn't need that to get motivated. Is this just a story for us, or is that really a locker room story that seemed to play into the game yesterday?
It depends who you talk to. A guy like Joel Bitonio says he has the same motivation every week. It doesn't matter what anybody says, who he's playing. It just doesn't make sense to him. He says you should be playing at your peak performance and peak emotion regardless. And then there's guys that are looking for that edge, and you see it in every sport, and you take a slight and you make more of it. And Chase's comments certainly got the attention of the Browns, and if you're looking for just something else to give you a little more fire, I think it certainly did that. Calling them the Elves and then saying Cleveland is Cleveland, you know, the Browns, some of the Browns players took that as disrespectful. And I don't know if it, you know, changed the outcome of the game, but it certainly it's not like it's a media creation. That's something that a certain segment of the population in that locker room took that and used it as motivation and for more emotion, and you could see it through the game. I mean, Greg Newsom, the second, the cornerback, was barking at Ja'Marr Chase all game long. Not that he always doesn't, because he is a trash talker, but you could see it.
The Browns winning 24-3. There was a moment in yesterday's game, I'm listening on the radio, where Dustin Hopkins lines up to kick a field goal, and you're like, then the point that was made is it was straight down the middle. In other words, no doubt about it. Are we feeling confident now with our kicking game?
Well, certainly more confident than when Cade York was there, and especially how he struggled in the preseason. You know, kicking is so fickle that if he misses one, then people start to doubt. But making three for three in his Browns debut certainly built up some goodwill and collateral. So when he eventually misses a kick, and you know he will, I think people will be less inclined to panic, right? Because he's made some kicks. And I'll tell you what, I talked to Hopkins after the game. I talked to him Friday, and I went back up to him yesterday just to, you know, touch base and say, hey, what, you know, talk about the game. And he said something about the fan reaction. And I said, or maybe I told him, I'm not sure I've ever heard a louder cheer for a first quarter field goal. Because it was, people were so relieved that he made it that the place went nuts. And that was, to me, that was just a commentary on how scarred fans were by the Cade York experience.
Right. Well, with a wet ball, too, you never know what can happen on a thing like that because it affects the passing game, obviously, in yesterday's game. What's the injury status? I know Jack Conklin was taken off yesterday.
Yeah, that's the big one. I mean, Juan Thornhill, the safety, didn't play. He's got a calf strain. He tried to warm up before the game, and just they didn't feel like he was ready to go. So I would think he's got a good chance to play against Pittsburgh, or at least sometime soon. But Conklin, it looks like a season ender. They're waiting for the MRI today, so they're not ready to say it is. But it could also, you know, they're hoping that, but it also could be a career ender. He's dealt with injuries in the past. He's only 29. But Myles Garrett, when we asked him about Conklin, said, I know he'd been thinking about, should he keep playing because he'd gone through these injuries, and then he started to feel better last year, signed an extension in December. So you hope the news is a surprise and he's going to be okay, but it didn't look good. And that's a big loss. And like I said, the Browns signed him to an extension. He's a two-time All-Pro guy. And they'll probably go to rookie DeJuan Jones. And, you know, and that's an important position. So that's certainly something we're going to have to keep an eye on.
All right. One from the North down, now on to the Steelers on a Monday night game. I know we'll talk next Monday more in detail on that, but just another tough matchup for week two.
It is. And, you know, the Steelers are going to be motivated. We'll talk about motivation, but they got beat pretty bad yesterday by the 49ers at home. So Steelers aren't going to want to start 0-2. Monday night game, emotions are going to be high. The Browns are going to have had to play really well to go in there. And I think the Browns opened as a small favorite. And I'm sure if you watch both games, you're going to say, oh, the Browns are so much better. But there's a lot of adjustments that are made between week one and week two. And sometimes you see teams make a huge jump. So it's going to be a difficult game. But if the Browns manage to go in there and win, just think about the excitement there. You're 2-0. You're coming back home for a couple of games. You got those two division wins to start the season that everybody was worried about. It's such an important stretch of the season. So it's going to be a big game.
Absolutely. We'll talk again next Monday, Scott. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrick joining us here talking on the Browns Report, brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, Attorneys at Law, Royal Business Equipment in Elyria as well. You can follow Scott at brownzone.com, at Scott Petrick on X Twitter, as well as read him in the Chronicle Telegram.